Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And in verse 46, Jesus speaks to his disciples by asking them this question: "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There are two things we may use to judge others, or there are two things that others may use to judge us. The first is what we say, the words of our mouths are a good indication of who we are and what we think, what we want to be, and what we intend to do. And then there are the things that we do, our personal behavior. It is indication of our character, where we go, what we do, as well as what we say. These have a depth of meaning. They are a means of teaching others who we are, what our character is as human beings. And as we think of these two tools of teaching, words and deeds, we understand that they were, during the time of Jesus, primary teaching tools, because most people had no access to libraries. In fact, most people could not read. They could not write. Only a very small portion of the population had the ability to learn by reading or to write down their thoughts that others might study them and learn. The great libraries were hundreds of miles away and took months to travel there in order to study and learn. And because of this unlikely opportunity of learning for self-education, Jesus noted the grave responsibility of teachers. He said in verse 40, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect, that is complete, shall be as his master." I think this is what Jesus meant. When everyone is taught fully by his teacher, he will know no more than his teacher. In other words, not having other sources for learning, not having the ability to read the Old Testament themselves, the people's knowledge was limited to their teachers, and no one could rise above his or her teacher in this particular kind of knowledge. And this is what created the statement about the blind leading the blind. Jesus realized that religiously the Pharisees were blind. They did not see the truths of the Old Testament. That is, they did not comprehend the principles of the Mosaic system. They looked upon it as a system of do's and don'ts rather than as a teaching system, wherein one might learn principles rather than the observance of strict laws. They stuck to the letter of the law and forgot the spirit of the law. And Jesus said that these men, though they were blind and were teaching people who were blind, and therefore a catastrophe lay in store for both teacher and student, these men still loved to be teachers. Jesus said of them on one occasion, "They love the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi," that is teacher, teacher. The educational system has always been fraught with people who love the office but were incompetent. This seems to be a problem in the early years of the New Testament church, for James wrote in James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many masters," and that means teachers, "knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment." And as Jesus looked at his disciples after this rather long explanation of how to be known as the children of the highest, he realized there was a flaw in them that would not allow them to teach by word and example that which he had taught them, and he rebuked them for this by asking them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you look to me as a source of instruction, and yet you do not do the things that I teach you?" And then Jesus said in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built, like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." There are three words in verse 47 that I believe give to us the process by which we become not only literally children of the highest, but by the things we do and the words that we speak, we identify ourselves with the kingdom of God. We identify ourselves with the highest, that is, with God Almighty. And there are these words, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." Three words. Whosoever cometh to me, whosoever heareth my sayings, and whosoever doeth them. Three very simple words that need little definition, but they tell us how we can not only become children of God, but how we may form and fashion a foundation that will equip us for any event of life. Having such a foundation where our character has been digged deep will equip us for any success we have in life. We can handle it. And it will equip us for any failures that we may have in life, so that we do not crumble under the stream of pressure, under the stream of disappointment, under the stream of pain and suffering, or in the stream of joy and exaltation. All of these cannot wash away and cause us to cease to be in the sense of our life and our influence, but we will become stronger and better. But we cannot leave out "come," and we cannot leave out "hear," and we cannot leave out "do." These people to whom Jesus is speaking had been his disciples for several months. They had been, most of them, in his constant body presence. They had literally come to Jesus. And they had been listening to the words that he said. And they had grasped, many of them, though they had been confused by some and did not understand completely and totally all of the principles that Jesus was laying before them. And then there was the weakness. The weakness was in doing. They had come, and it took A brave spirit to come to Jesus, who was known as a blasphemer by the religious leaders. It was not an easy thing to come and identify yourself with Jesus. And it took a struggle against the forces that existed at this time, both civil and religious. And just being away from home over long extended periods of time to be in the presence of Jesus and hear what he said. But now they had come to this third point, this third plateau, and it was giving them serious trouble. If they did not conquer, if they did not decide that they were going to do what Jesus taught, then the entire chain would be weakened. And whatever examples they might set in word would be destroyed because their deeds were not equal to the words that they were saying. I think all of us can say that we have a similar situation facing us today. We, as God's people, we have come to Jesus. And we have been hearing his saying since we were infants in Sunday school. Our ears are not deaf. Our spirits are not dead. We hear. But the test is in the doing. Come and hear and do. These disciples of Jesus must do more than follow and hear. They were his disciples. They were hearing him teach. They were doing what he taught, but not completely. So let's look at these steps to being identified as a child of the highest. They are, step one, we must come to Jesus. He said, "Whosoever cometh to me." There are no limitations on those who may come. Whosoever has absolutely no barriers to describe. Whosoever cometh, and it has in it the act of literally crawling, walking, maneuvering, in order to get into the body presence of Jesus Christ. And notice that it is, "Whosoever cometh to me," Jesus, the Savior of all men. It's not the first invitation nor the last that Jesus ever offered. He said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Following the great feast, he said, "If any man come to me and drink, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." This coming to Jesus is to be obedient to him. It is the coming of a lesser to a greater. It is the coming of a rebellious person to figures of authority. It has in it the idea of submission, of recognizing the character of Jesus and also recognizing the character of oneself as the lesser and Jesus as the greater. It is a candle coming to a magnificent light. We're not coming to Christ as equals. We're not coming to Christ to argue about who he is, nor to argue about who we are. We're not coming to Jesus to find fault with him or to find fault with others. We're not coming to Jesus to compare him to Buddha or to compare him to other great religious leaders. We're not coming in order to argue, to find fault, nor to compare, but we're coming because we have seen that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And we're coming to him for all that he is and all that he offers and all that he can do for us. Step two, is to hear his sayings, and heareth my sayings. This isn't simply the audible sounds that are made by the voice box of an itinerant Jewish teacher, but it is to come and to learn by hearing. And you'll notice that the sayings are my sayings. And there's much religion today that is not built upon the sayings of Jesus. And they're called Christian institutions and Christian teachings. But in order for us to fulfill these three steps and to be known as children of the highest, we have to hear the sayings of Jesus Christ. They're not the sayings of a preacher, unless that preacher voices the sayings of Jesus Christ. They're not the sayings of a church or a denomination or a Sunday school teacher or a mother or a father, unless they are repetitious and expound the principles that Jesus taught. They must be his sayings. And the hearing must be to learn. We should never read the Bible with the idea of examining it for the purpose of adopting or appropriating, adapting to our lives those things that we find pleasant, those things that we find are in agreement with decisions and philosophies that we've already formed. We should not come to the Word of God simply for poetic appreciation. We should not come for mere moral admiration, that is, to admire the moral concepts that Jesus taught. I dare say we should not come to the Word of God simply for devotion. Not for comfort only when we have lost a loved one. We should listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ so that we might obey the God whom he has revealed to us. We do not come out of curiosity simply to find some unique, comforting thought. We are slaves who come to our master to know his will so that we may do his will. The efficiency of any organization, especially in the military, is that those who are in lesser rank will obey without question those who are in a higher rank. And that's why I would never ask anyone to obey me in matters of religion. I would never ask anyone to obey the church's interpretation of a particular thing in matters of religion. It could be wrong, but I ask you to learn the teachings of Christ and then fearlessly obey the teachings of Christ. And these two steps come to me. Hear my sayings, that is what I teach, my revelation of God through parables and statements and examples, and doeth them. And as some poets have said, this may be where the rub is. This may be where the friction is generated. The word do means to make or to perform or to produce. It has in it the idea of an external action that manifests the completion of something. Also an action that is repeated and continual. It isn't simply that there is one action we are to do and then everything is completed, then everything is finished and now we're free, but our lives are guided by it continually. The entire purpose of our existence is to obey and to put into practice those things that we hear Him say. If a person will do these three things, he will have dug a solid foundation for a life of service that will reflect his sonship relationship to God Almighty. If you will come to Jesus as a subservient, if you will come to Jesus in submission, if you will come to Jesus in confession of Him as the Son of God, if you will come to Jesus with the right attitude, aided by the Spirit of God, if you will hear His sayings, you will learn what He taught His disciples, and then do what He said. Jesus said, "I will show you to whom He is like." Many times in our teaching of our young people, in our teaching of children, we sing about the wise man who built his house upon the rocks, etc., etc. We give the impression that that is the initial born-again experience. That's not what this book says. That's not what this Bible says. It's not just the initial born-again experience that we who have trusted the Lord are aware of, but it is simply the beginning. Our born-again experience is our beginning. We must not only come to Him for the new birth, we must come to Him for His teaching, and then we must do them. That is when we have digged deep, according to verse 48. And you'll notice the word deep is there, digged deep. I will show you to whom He may be compared. The builder digged deep until he found solid rock. Then he laid the foundation on that solid rock. And when the house was tested, it stood firm. But then there is the house without foundation. I think this statement, "He built an house upon the earth," is so revealing. You know, we spent weeks out here, literally, trying to get this new addition to our church plant above the ground. We had so much rain, it was a problem. Do you know what? We were trying to find something solid. We wanted to pour enough concrete that we would have a solid foundation, because the well-being of the building, its usefulness, depends upon that. And we spent a lot of money making it solid, giving it footings and piers and all the other things. 40 yards of concrete. Why? Well, we could have just cleared the ground off and poured 4 inches of floor, slab, and built on that. We could have, but you know what? It would never have stood. To simply come to Jesus and to hear what He says and not do them is to pour your slab on the earth. You must do what He says in order to have the solid foundation that will withstand all the winds of adversity and success that blow about us today in this world. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, we have come to You, and our Father, we have heard what You have taught us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for strength and wisdom to do what we have learned. Give us courage to dig deep, to excavate from our own personal selves that which is offensive in Your sight, to dig out rebellion and stubbornness, to dig out carnality and worldliness, to give place to the solid teachings of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Stir our hearts to obedience and action, for we pray in his name. Amen.